The biblical story for this holy day comes from the Acts of the Apostles. It takes place during a spring harvest festival called Pentecost. I'll be reading selected verses from chapter 2 of the book of Acts. May God speak to you through these words. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers talking in his own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism. And some of us are from Crete and Arabia. And yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Well, then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about." And then he quotes Joel. "This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. So listen to these words, fellow Israelites. Jesus of Nazareth was a man whose divine authority was clearly proven to you by all the miracles and wonders which God performed through him. You yourselves know this, for it happened here among you. In accordance with his own plan, God had already decided that Jesus would be handed over to you, and you killed him by letting sinful people crucify him. But God raised him from death, setting him free from its power, because it was impossible that death should hold him prisoner. All the people of Israel, then, are to know for sure that this Jesus whom you crucified is the one that God made Lord and Messiah." But when the people heard this, they were deeply troubled, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brothers?" And Peter said to them, "Each one of you must turn away from his sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. And you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. For God's promise was made to you and your children and to all who are far away, all whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Well, the last time we heard from Peter, the apostle, it wasn't one of his best days. He had turned his back on his most devoted friend, Jesus. 3 times, as Jesus had predicted. After Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested by the temple guards, Peter denied being associated with Jesus. That's the last we heard about Peter, according to what Luke wrote in his gospel. After that, Peter just blended in with the other apostles and the dozens of other followers of Jesus who hung out together. They spent time praying together, socializing, worshiping in the temple like almost everybody else, but in general, sort of laying low. the buzz over the crucifixion of Jesus from Galilee, that buzz had died down. But the apostles and the other believers didn't want to take any chances by drawing attention to themselves. They got in the habit of gathering on a rooftop patio, up above the noise of the crowded alleys down below, out of view of the passersby. And on the day in question, there were more passersby than normal. It was the week of the Pentecost festival. The day of Pentecost was one of just three annual feast days on the Jewish calendar where the faithful would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem if possible. These expatriate Jews would make their way to Jerusalem from Elam in modern-day Iran, from Phrygia and Pamphylia in present-day Turkey, from Libya in northern Africa. Yes, they came from all over. Jerusalem on those feast days sounded like the United Nations, what with all the different native languages being spoken, as well as hearing the pilgrims trying to use their rusty Hebrew. The day in question was a Sunday, which is the first day of the work week in that part of the world. In addition to the presence of those out-of-town pilgrims, business proceeded as usual with people making their way to and from the temple for prayer and to offer sacrifices and to make money offerings. Men crafted housewares in their shops. Women returning from the market steered their gleeful children through the crowds. Merchants hawked their wares to anyone who would listen. Laborers groaned under the weight of the stone and the mortar that they were hauling to a construction site. A normal start to the week. And then it happened. According to Luke's account in the Acts of the Apostles, without warning, God's Holy Spirit suddenly descended upon the believers, the followers of Jesus. And not just one or two, not just on the 12 apostles, but on all who were gathered in that upper room, which, according to Luke, could have been about 120 people in all. And how did they know that something had happened to them? How did the believers know that they were being filled with the Holy Spirit? By what they heard, and by what they saw, and by what they felt, and by what they did. They heard the roar of a mighty wind. They saw what looked like tongues of fire touching each one. They felt inspired, which literally means a spirit in them, inspired. And they began to speak in languages they didn't even know. But the people down on the street level knew those languages. I mean, right there in the middle of Jerusalem, those out-of-towners were hearing their own native languages. You see, the sound of that mighty wind had echoed through that part of the city, quickly drawing a crowd of the curious as the believers descended the steps and went out into the streets. If you've ever traveled overseas, you know how the sound of English being spoken immediately catches your ear. Well, that's what happened to the Parthians and the Medians and the Elamites, the Phrygians, the Egyptians, the Arabs, and all the rest. They could hardly believe that they were hearing their own languages being spoken by a bunch of country bumpkins from middle of nowhere, Galilee. The people of Jerusalem couldn't make sense of what they were seeing and hearing from these Galileans. Someone came up with a dismissive explanation. Oh, they're just intoxicated. Shameful. You remember Peter? The devoted apostle who felt threatened by his association with Jesus, and so he denied that he knew Jesus. Three times denied him. The apostle who we hadn't heard from since that embarrassing, regretful night, according to Luke's scriptures. Well, when the Holy Spirit descended upon those believers, it emboldened Peter to speak, to preach, to profess his devotion to Jesus. God's Holy Spirit forgave him, transformed him, empowered him, guided him in what to say and what to do. And from what the Holy Spirit did through Peter, the other disciples were enabled as well to proclaim their faith in God through Jesus the Son. They proclaimed it that day and in the years that followed to the people of their generation, and then that generation to the next generation, and the next, and the next. And here we are. And the Holy Spirit didn't hold the believers captive in Jerusalem. They sensed the call of God's Holy Spirit to disperse, to take the gospel and go down the street, and across the valley to the next village, and across the sea to the next continent. And here we are. And the Holy Spirit didn't discriminate about who was and wasn't worthy of receiving the blessing of faith in God through Jesus the Son. And so the believers told their fellow Jews, and they told their Greek friends who were worshiping an assortment of deities. They told everybody they met, whether they were from Arabia or Cappadocia or Egypt or Crete or Rome. And here we are. Yes, here we are. Thanks to God's gift of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our lives to God because of our faith in Jesus Christ the Son, Jesus Christ, the personification, the embodiment of God's love. As the Holy Spirit dispersed the believers from their gathering place on the day of Pentecost to go out into the world, the Holy Spirit has dispersed you and me from this familiar, comforting, and cherished gathering place. I know that many of you would love to be where I am right now, sitting in this sanctuary, soaking in the peace and comfort of this familiar place, hearing familiar voices, soul-touching tunes, in the presence of your family or perhaps with extended family and your friends. And yes, gathered with some folks we're not acquainted with, but who are spiritual siblings because of our common faith. Yes, we would love to be here right now, in part because that would mean that this pandemic was history. But instead, as a community of faith, we are what some are calling the dispersed church. We are dispersed throughout the community. Indeed, some of you watching right now are in places far distant from the shores of Lake Erie. And maybe we're dispersed because this is where God needs us to be. Not only for one another's physical safety, but to focus on how we can be ambassadors of Jesus Christ in the smaller social circles in which we find ourselves today. On this unique day of Pentecost, our movements are restricted to varying degrees by the conditions we're living in. Despite our inability to get around like we're accustomed to and like we want to, God's Holy Spirit fills us in order to serve God's will. For by God's gift of the Spirit to Christ's worldwide church, God enables us to embody the love of Jesus, to demonstrate the acceptance of Jesus, to grace others with the forgiveness of Jesus, and to lift others with hope rooted in faith in Jesus. Right where we are, God's Holy Spirit equips us to be a blessing in the lives of others in the name of Jesus Christ.